live from the Fish and Reptile Rendering Plant in East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, equipment manager for the 2004 NCAA Division I Women's Champion Alligator Wrestling Squad at the University of Florida, renowned herpetologist and insurance magnate, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring Daredevil Marksman, legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man whose banjo playing will bring young women to tears, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal for alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who flosses his teeth with aluminum wire, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Man, we need to be on beach with just a nice big old frosty
just until
drink.
The show starts. Man, it doesn't seem like it's been a week since last time we talked.
I know.
It's just amazing how time flies.
Time
tempest
blows
me
away. Tempest fugit.
Did I ever tell you my limbo contest story?
I think you did a long time ago, but bring it up again because it's fascinating.
Years ago, I used to DJ. You know, like had a mobile DJ thing, go around to, you know, wedding dances and parties and schools and things like that. And also in our part of the world, there were these painters. I won't use their real name. They were the Heitzig girls. And
very good painters.
Maude and Harriet.
They painted, you know, like houses indoor, outdoor.
Okay, you're not talking about painters that paint like scenery.
No,
and,
not
and
a,
modern
not
art.
Artistes, they were.
House painters.
Well, they were artistes in their way.
In a way, I guess.
Well, I mean, they're still alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have to, you know, declare that because
I think they painted Mom and Dad's house like
just recently. Month. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, back at the time, this group of Heitzig girls had a clubhouse, like a vacation house down along
down
the, river,
the river.
Down
yeah.
by the river.
Illinois or Mississippi?
This would have been the Illinois.
Gotcha.
And every year they would have a party, an annual summer party at this clubhouse down along the river.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And we bartered out a deal where they would do some painting for me at the house, and in exchange I would DJ their party. And their parties were great. I mean, they would have them.
They knew how to drink.
They were outdoors, you know, down by the river, and people would come from all around for the Heitzig girls party. And I mean, they got lively. They were, you know,
there was beer involved.
Well,
beer.
Yeah. Or until and then everybody stayed till it was gone. But I'm DJing, and they have this clubhouse, and it's like up on stilts.
Right.
So I set up underneath of the clubhouse, and I mean, the party is just around me 360, and the music's super loud, and the party just keeps getting wilder and wilder. And they decide they want to have, at the apex of drunkenness, they decide they want to have a limbo contest.
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean,
this all be good.
They couldn't have limboed when they were sober.
No, I mean, walking's difficult, much less going under a rod, right? So I'm playing, you know, the limbo, and they just keep going on and on and on. And, you know, they're all cheating and saying that they're going under it, right, and stuff. But as long as they're having fun, I don't care. I just keep playing the music until finally the limbo sticks out in front of me.
Uh-oh.
And one of them, and it's one of the Heitzig girls, is actually going under the limbo stick, coming towards me. But when she, like, straightens up after going under, because, you know, she's got a drink in one hand, and and comes, pops back up, loses her balance, comes stumbling forward, and knocks over the entire table of electronic equipment.
Oh, no.
Which is also the lighting, because you know, now it's like 2 in the morning, and the only lights out there are the lights that I have for the light show and some extra that I'd set up. So now the music goes off, the lights go out, it's total darkness, and just out of the darkness, the one that knocked over the table says, "Allie, turn the music back on."
Can't beat that.
And I'm just mad as hell, y'all. Because everything I got's just been knocked to the ground. And so, you know, like somebody finds a flashlight. We set it back up and
everything worked.
Plugged everything back down and went on for a couple more hours.
Did you convey to them
my anger?
Yes.
Well, there were a couple of other people that detected my anger, and because they're all like, "Well, they'll help you pick it up, Allie," and I'm like, "Just leave it. Just let me do it." And finally, there were a couple of other sober, semi-sober people that helped hold people back while I got my stuff back together and turned everything back on and was up and running. So at the time, I was the only sober person at that event.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
You had to see some mind-blowing things that night.
Didn't they come back to you hat in hand then?
Oh, God, no. It's like,
all right, music's on.
I thought they gave you the... You don't like us anymore. No,
that was at a different party.
Where they knocked over your stuff again?
Yeah. Well, no, they upset me in some other way. But this that party finally ended
when the sun came up.
No, when one of them fell and broke their leg.
Wow.
And they had to
helicopter him out.
Haul him off to the hospital.
Is that the one where Larry had his birthday?
No. That was a different one.
That was down in a cabin by the lake, right?
That was, it was actually about 50 cabins down from that one where that party was. That's the day Larry and the Clunks were playing at that party. Mm-hmm. And as we're playing, I'm watching, I see my Volkswagen go into the river.
At that birthday party of Larry's, what I remember about it was that at some point, the gang of drunken compadres decided they were going to give Larry birthday spanking.
Yeah, they all held him down, or tried.
they like dogpiled Larry onto the ground, you know, and he's kind of going along, you know, laughing about it. And his shirt rode up in the back.
Yeah, to where his like bare back is exposed. And I can't remember who it was.
One of the Yahoos.
Just hit him right in the back, you know, like slap.
Whop! I mean, it just popped. Like where, you could hear it all through the building.
Left like a handprint on his back. And that changed everything.
Light went off in the brain.
I never saw Larry like that.
He transformed into the Incredible Hulk at that moment.
He threw off. I bet he threw like 8 guys off of him. Oh, he stood up and
like a
pitched
bear.
Him off and found the guy that hit him.
Uh-oh.
And like put him through the wall, like through drywall. I mean, like broke the drywall. He didn't go all the way through the wall, but it smashed the drywall.
Yeah. That was it. I know what clubhouse. That was at Tuffy's Clubhouse. Huh. That's where that was at.
We had broken drywall after that one.
Probably still that way, isn't it?
No, it's been bought out by now.
Well, I know.
Oh, that was
saying.
Wiped out in three floods ago. Yeah. But that was exciting. Where's the...
The episode...
Oh, it's over here. There it is.
Episode 46.
This is, well, if people are tuned into this, they know this already. So they can look at the symbol for episode 46.
Yeah, but there's people that listen to it in their cars.
Are there?
Yeah.
Okay, episode 46.
So you heard of it?
Every episode has a little alligator emblem at the beginning.
Like the half Nelson. The very first episode we did was
half Nelson. Nelson. You know, Boston Crab, spinning toll.
Wrestling
Holmes. Full Nelson.
Full Nelson. But we've gone from half Nelson, full Nelson, and this episode is called The Willie Nelson.
There you go.
And it shows the alligator standing on Willie Nelson.
On his shoulders.
And pulling his hair.
Willie's got long pigtails, doesn't he?
Well, he did up until this episode.
Oh, it's gone now.
For all I know, he's got his head ripped off.
And wouldn't know it.
You'd really only use that move on some other wrestler who's got, like, long braids.
And, you know, in wrestling...
Greg's probably seen this a bunch in those women women alligator wrestlers.
I'm sure of that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
But I think alligator wrestling is the same as the NFL. If you have long hair, you can grab it.
You can grab a guy by his dreads as he goes by.
Yeah. I mean, they're
it's
down
past It's
going to
cause
so
trouble
past.
If you do that. Oh, but you can God. Do it.
Yeah,
you
it is.
It's legit. Okay, that does circle us back to that intro where Greg was introduced as the equipment manager for the women's NCAA wrestling program at South Florida University.
Florida State,
it's my understanding
that... Yeah, what equipment's involved there, Greg?
Well, it's my understanding that he was the assistant equipment manager.
What are you saying, boys? That's
even farther down the pole?
What are you saying there? As I had it, I was the only guy there.
That's the way to be, man.
You got it, yeah. It was an awesome job.
Well, you know, they changed the rules. You know, it used to be like when they had...
What is it? What is the equipment manager do? Okay, Lisa.
Here's your string bikini.
Here's your leotard. Here you go, Tammy. Here
here's your sports bra.
So is women alligator wrestling like the same uniform you use when you play sand volleyball?
Oof. Yes. It is. A little more spandex.
Was that on the show today that you were watching?
No. She was...
I'm thinking there's specialized equipment that you use when you wrestle alligators.
Well, there is. There's some, you know, they got some different type of...
Well, you want your clothes to be tight.
They're very tight.
Or the alligator very form, grab onto loose clothing.
Very form-fitting. But you got some... So, the you know, if you get
like
into
the military, you know, they have a tactical
It's
bra.
Like a Teflon little thing on the front so you don't get scratched up by the rough skin of the alligators. And you got to be, you know, correct.
Kevlar.
Kevlar, yeah. So, I mean, there's protection there.
No, Greg's the guy who handed out towels at the shower.
All good there, too, man. I'm telling you.
It could have been the massage boy.
And that wasn't bad either.
There's just no bad job when you're equipment manager for the women's alligator wrestling team.
It's pretty good.
Yowza.
Went blind.
It should be. Here, I got a commercial. Let's have Greg do a commercial. Here you go.
Let's see what we got here.
Commercial time.
Okay, today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Dr. Ferd's. Oh, he went from, it is still Dr. Ferd. That's right. Dog itch ointment. Really? When did you develop this? Sick and tired of watching your dog drag his bottom across your new carpets? The old anal itch medicine's no longer doing the trick for you? For Fido, sorry. Well, don't just hit the dog with a newspaper. Address the cause, not the symptom. Just grab a tube. It comes in cream. Who's going to rub that on?
It's an ointment.
Just grab a tube of Dr. Ferd's dog itch ointment. Squeeze out a generous amount and apply liberally to the base of the tail. At least you don't have to go down any further. In no time whatsoever, your dog will be howling a song of blessed relief, licking your face in joy. No, I don't think so. Don't wait another doggone minute. Reach out to Dr. Ferd today, not for human consumption.
Well,
maybe.
It's nice to see both the brothers creating things.
Again,
Uncle Dan,
and Dr. Ferd.
Dog ointment.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Is he not allowed to come up here anymore?
Not after the last time he's here.
He was kind of lubricated the last time he was here.
And not with dog
with ointment.
No, not with dog ointment.
Applied liberally.
He was using that for his chapped lips.
I like the dog giving you a lick. Lick your face in joy after it's.
Yeah.
Been cured.
You've got dogs. You let dogs lick your face?
No, I don't like that.
I didn't say whether you liked it. I said, do you let it happen?
No. Well, I tell them no if that happens. I said, don't do that.
So then they're doing it.
Well, they try. They're dogs.
Okay.
Dog will lick your face if you lean over and say, come on, Nala, give me a big wet kiss. It will.
You know, we had that Basset Hound Herman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that dog ever... Even attempting to lick my face.
Don't think it had the energy.
Probably true.
Yeah.
But it was short. It was low to the ground. You'd have to get down with him.
But if you got down with him, he'd lick you.
Yeah. I love that dog.
Herman?
Yeah. Saved the... Might be one... Was it you have one...
Oh, he saved you a lot of money.
Yeah, he did.
That's the Herman that woke parents the night the barn was on fire.
Just barking like heck. It wasn't
Herman was a hero.
It wasn't the fact that his doghouse was getting me burned up, but...
Mom!
But he also saved them from a rattlesnake attack.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, he was barking because he never barked. And went outside and there was a rattlesnake in the right outside the back door.
Oh, my.
Mom or dad, either one, could have easily stepped on that.
Bang.
Saved their lives.
Yeah. You can't kill rattlesnakes in Illinois.
No.
So
copperheads are...
So nobody shot it with a shotgun.
Dad went and got a big tater fork and just scooped it up and took it out back to the woods and let it go.
Right. Like I said, nobody shot it.
With a shotgun. Because that's against the law.
That is totally against the law.
Copperhead's on that list, too.
Copperhead?
Yeah.
If you want a copperhead, you go ahead and out there.
I think in Missouri, they're... I think in Missouri, they're the same way.
You can grab it up, wrench its neck, and make a belt out of it. I don't think they're protected in any way, shape, or form.
Gotcha.
Copperhead.
Of course, I could be wrong.
Well, you're the one who knows all about this stuff.
I don't know that I've ever seen a copperhead in my life.
Really? Oh, everybody sees copperheads.
Well, they think they do.
Yeah.
Well, that's a copperhead.
No. There's a bunch of copperheads.
And if it's black...
Copperhead nest.
If it's black, it's cottonmouth. Well, that's cottonmouth.
No, it's not.
There ain't cottonmouths around here, our part of the world.
What are the ones that swim and bite you?
That's a copperhead. No. Not a copperhead. That's a
water moccasin. Well, that's what you run into.
Water moccasin. Water moccasin and cottonmouth are the same thing.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
true. I think the only ones you got to worry about around here are a timber rattlesnake or a Massasauga.
We don't have diamondback rattlesnakes. What's
a Massasauga?
Yeah.
It's a pygmy rattlesnake.
So small rattlesnake.
How do you tell?
But equally deadly.
How do you tell a Mastafala from just a baby rattlesnake?
Their pattern's different.
But they still have a rattle?
Yeah.
But they rattle a different, slightly different song. Like that limbo. Yeah. The Mastafala rattle like a limbo.
That's right.
Wow.
Regular rattlesnake.
No, that's not the limbo. That limbo's
There's your rattle. See that little purple egg right there?
I was doing, what is that, a conga line. Yeah, that's more of a conga thing that you're thinking of. Whereas your sidewinder rattlesnake does more of a limbo. Yeah, okay. You got to get your rattlesnakes right. Please let it be over. I notice you're wearing your home sweatshirt again, Greg.
I am. It's the cleanest one I got, so I keep wearing it.
What was the movie where the outside of the house has a big sign that just says home?
I have no clue.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange.
I saw the movie.
You did?
Yeah.
It's the house where they...
Remember, this was a...
When they came home, went south.
But the movie I saw was at Western, and it was on...
Oh, you were wasted.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You were building up. You could have just came out and said, I was too wasted to remember it.
Well, I remember some of the parts, so yeah.
Okay.
I remember when he had his eyes propped open. And it kept
put the drops in?
His eyes,
yeah, that ain't the part I remembered right away.
That was my life. That was my life either, but... 2 years ago.
Okay, the sweatshirt.
Yeah, it was.
I got a sweatshirt question to ask before you go on.
We're all wearing sweatshirts.
We're all wearing sweatshirts. How often can you wear it? How many times can you wear a sweatshirt without having to wash it?
Until it sticks to the wall.
Interesting.
Or your wife says that stinks and you need to wash it.
Well, I think it. Part of it depends on...
Whether you wear a shirt under it.
Well, you're wearing a shirt under it. That's a given.
Couple.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, man.
Oh, Rick. Oh, well, oh okay. He does have. He's got a lining.
It depends
on what you're doing. If you're just sitting around doing a podcast, you're probably all right. You got two t-shirts on?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in my house. 65 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
you can't afford heat, Greg? They have government programs for old people.
You know, if you want to save money, marry a Blackerby.
Why? She don't like to have the heat on?
She doesn't like to spend money.
Okay.
Yeah. So just wear a sweatshirt.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think that you can sign up for that heat program.
You can.
When you're picking up your government cheese.
That's pretty good cheese.
Can you still get government cheese?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
Where do you get it?
Where was that working?
Cheese factory.
No. It comes
out. The cheese shop.
Who's took that program over?
What decade was it that?
70s.
Was it 70s?
When the gas lines came
when
out.
When the government cheese came out.
The cheese came out.
What was the government doing with a whole bunch of cheese?
I think they were buying up cheese to to balance out the price of cheese so that it wouldn't be a... So that the cheese manufacturers wouldn't
go out of business.
They're bailing out the dairy
supporting
farmers.
The
dairy
cheese
producers.
So... But that was when the gas prices were real long and they had lines at the gas station. Then they had the cheese lines.
You ever made cheese?
No, but no. Blessed are the cheesemakers.
Yes, they are.
You ever made cheese, Greg?
Nah, well, yeah. But not the cheese you're talking about.
He just cuts it.
Yes. That's what I was getting at. Ooh, there it went. Sorry, Rick.
You know how you got those cheese slicers that a block of cheese and just slice cheese like crazy?
Yeah.
Dennis, brother Dennis.
He's got one.
Uncle Den. He uses that same cheese slicer to slice his Spam so that it's all uniform in thickness.
Wow, that's nice.
Isn't that genius?
He is a genius.
When Sue and I got married, we got 3 cheese slicers.
Uh-huh.
Got them?
No, we give them to other people.
Warm out. Oh,
re-gifted, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Warm out on government cheese.
Well, Alan's got one of them when he got married.
I'm cutting Spam with it.
This is a test of the emergency banjo system. This is only a test.
Damn! In the event of an actual emergency, you'd be told where to tune in to get soothing banjo music.
This was a test of the emergency banjo system. This was only a test.
You ever see the old-fashioned cheese slicers where it's got like a big giant cleaver on an arm? And it was they had them in like old-time grocery stores and you could just...
Oh, yeah, the big... For the wheels.
For the wheel, yeah.
Yeah, saw that. Moonstruck.
You could cut anything with that thing.
You could cut the cheese with that.
Man.
Could you cut the cheese?
Yes, you can.
Now, when we were in Europe, did you go into any of the cheese shops? Cheese was a big thing in France. You could go into the shops and they'd have nothing in it but cheese.
Yeah, but they were like all those gushy, soft cheeses that you spread on crackers.
No.
They didn't have a good hard cheese.
That was in France. When you get over to Italy, they got that really hard cheese.
Good hard cheese in Italy.
See, but I kind of like the softer.
Easy softer, on your gums?
Softer cheeses. I think they're more flavorful.
He can take his plate out and still be able to eat the cheese.
Yeah.
I like a good fromage.
Oh, boy. Is that goat or sheep?
No, it's just any cheese.
It's French for cheese.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Like an omelette du fromage.
Yeah. They have goat cheese. You can get goat cheese.
You can get goat cheese.
Sheep cheese.
You can get cheese from just damn near any animal.
You betcha.
Well, yeah. You just turn the milk into cheese.
Yeah.
Any mammal.
You take the time. That's correct.
You should be able to get platypus cheese if you wanted it.
Camel cheese.
I'm
goat cheese.
I'm 100% certain that they have camel cheese.
No, it's out there.
No man.
Arabs, they eat camel cheese.
Anybody can eat it.
I'm saying it's a...
You're saying they perfected it.
It's a delicacy of the area.
That's part of their world.
Yeah, like the goat cheese is a delicacy of Switzerland or Colorado, where they're goats.
What?
Or you could eat llama cheese in South America.
You think there's more goats in Colorado than anywhere else?
Well, than Switzerland. I said Switzerland first.
No, but I'm guessing there's probably more goats.
Didn't Heidi like?
I'm guessing
farm
there's
goats.
More.
Didn't they like herd goats?
I'm guessing there's more goats in like California, or Utah, or Wisconsin, or someplace more so than Colorado. Colorado, they've got Rocky Mountain sheep, and they got, you know,
horn
like
sheep.
Rocky Mountain goats and stuff. But
that's what I'm talking about.
But they're wild. You're not going to milk them.
Well, you could. If you catch them.
Well, there you go.
What are they going to do? Say no?
I think I'd rather focus on a domestic goat.
I think so, too. I'm not going to climb a mountain just to get my head bashed in. I'll let you go up, Rick.
How many breeds of goat can you name?
None.
Angora.
Angora, Nubian, Fane. We had a goat. We had a huge goat.
I remember that goat. Stared me right in the eyes.
The old man sent Alan to the sale barn to sell some animals. He came home with a goat.
Yeah, one time.
Well, you guys did a lot of that, didn't you?
One time we came home with a goat. One time we came home with a pony. One time I came home with 12-pack.
Well, more than one on that.
Yeah.
That came with a goat, Mom. I had to take it.
I didn't know who put that goat in the back of the truck. But when I brought it home, it was a little bitty goat. It was really cute. And then it grew into
just a
monster.
Monster. That
smelled
stank.
Bad.
You know, it would lean over and urinate on its beard to give it that smell.
It trapped Mom in the barn. Yeah. At one, Mom was painting the barn, and the goat wasn't even in the pen where she was painting. It climbed over the fence just to harass her.
You know, it's like bumping into her.
You know, with the things that you had going on that farm, I can't understand why you didn't make the fences higher.
Oh, there's no fence to hold a goat.
But
that made no.
I'm not talking about goats, but everything that you brought home.
She was painting the barn, but she also had a hammer there because she was like nailing the boards in it that were sticking out.
The goat took it away from
her. And that goat, she was going to like kind of swing it at the goat to get it away. It hooked that hammer out of her hand, chased her out of the pen. She climbed over the fence. It jumped the fence and chased her into the garage.
Wow.
We.
I'm very impressed with your mom's athletic ability.
I was more impressed with the goat.
Yeah.
We came home from college, and Mom says, you guys got to get rid of that goat.
Got to get rid of that goat.
No. Can't believe there weren't extra words into that.
We gave him to the old
sentence.
Sheriff of Calhoun County.
Oh, which one? There are a bunch of them.
Well, you can't use his name. Yeah, it's Richard Meyer.
Meyer, yeah. That's who I thought it was.
It died in his barn.
Did it?
Yeah, but it was winter. Ground was froze. You had to wait till spring to bury it.
Wow.
Yeah, but I kind of remember stories of that goat getting loose over in Calhoun and terrorizing one of the neighbors over there, didn't it?
Well, when I walked out the door to go back down to our grandparents at our house, from our house, there was this goat with this bluest eyes I've ever seen with a chain hooked around its neck that's been broken off.
Yeah.
So that's the goat I think you're talking about?
Probably.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day, for whatever reason, we hauled him over to some friends of my parents' house with a big red bow around his neck and tied him out in their yard.
Yeah.
Be in the high school, didn't you? Weren't you?
For college.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, one of the two.
You're lucky you didn't get it.
Well, it looked right at me.
It was a good goat, though, and it's time.
As goats go, yeah, I pulled a chariot.
We have built a chariot for
doesn't
to pull
surprise
around.
Me. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me at all.
And it did. It pulled the chariot all over. But the catch was it pulled the chariot wherever it wanted to go.
Exactly.
We built this chariot out of a oil drum, cut it into the shape of a chariot, put bicycle wheels on it, and then made a rack for the goat to fit between out of a ladder that we cut some rungs off of.
First thing Dad says, that's a good ladder.
Yeah,
and then we took some apple picking sacks and cut the straps off of it to make harness.
That's a good picking sack.
Yeah.
As we put him out in the front yard, I thought it was you that Alan stood in the thing and gave the goat a crack with a whip to get him.
Oh, you had a whip too?
Oh, yeah. And he went just bananas,
ran
down the bank, dumped Alan off almost immediately, ran down the road, came up the other side, jumped the fence so that the goat's on one side and the chariot's on the other. And
thank God we were able to catch it that way.
I don't know why you thought giving it a crack with a whip on the rump wasn't going to make it.
Well, I watched Ben-Hur.
Horses.
Well, whatever.
Oh, it's time?
Yeah.
Is it time?
It is time.
All right. See you later from
Greg Gator.
Alligator.
Willie Nelson Gator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. and by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes.